Welcome back to the Popular Man Podcast. I'm your host, Jay. With me today, I'm my always loyal co-host, Cord. What's up, Cord?
How you been? Chaos is a ladder. I'm back from my strike. You know what time it is.
Cord, don't do that. We got the basketball analyst with us today. We got Jarquez. What's up, Jarquez?
What to do, George? Feel good to be off hiatus.
We got Daniel joining us today. What's up, Daniel?
I want to say Nicki Minaj is the greatest female rapper of all time, past, present, and current. Mm-hmm. All you bitches suck. Free Palestine. We stand in solidarity with our family.
And then we got no other than Dre with us today. What's up, Dre?
What's good, man? It's your favorite Mavs fan, your favorite Jay-Z truther. Shout out to all the teams in the playoffs. Not the teams in the play-in, but the teams in the playoffs.
Yes, sir. So, yes, sir.
That's how we starting.
Hey, pop your shit, Dre. All right. You know we do. We give our takes on basketball, music, and everything in between. I actually don't know what number episode this is because we haven't recorded like over a month. We had to take a slight break, recharge our batteries. We're going to try to get back into doing episodes. It might not be weekly. Might be bi-weekly now. But it feels good to be back. And we had to come back this week after the large music night. The biggest night in music we've had probably in a long time. With releases from J. Cole, releases from Nicki Minaj, and Migos, and Don Toliver. It's just a whole plethora of people. I think Georgia Smith, I think she released an album, not even just a single. I think she released an album. Like, there's a whole lot of music to drop, not to mention the playoffs start next week, I think.
Next Saturday.
The season is tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, because it's only like a handful of games left, like two games. Maybe some teams got two games, some teams got one game left. So the regular season is about to be over. Play-in's about to start. The playoffs are about to start. So I thought it was about the perfect time to come back, discuss what will be about the end of the regular season, discuss the regular season, discuss all the music. So glad to be back. Unfortunately, Cam and DeLon couldn't be here today for the first episode back, but send our condolences. Oh, don't send our condolences. They're nothing wrong with them. Nothing's wrong with DeLon and Cam. They will be back. Cam celebrated his birthday, so happy birthday, Cam. And DeLon's out having fun. And DeLon's out having fun with his other friends. So shout out to him.
Damn. He makes time for us. You see.
But all right. Getting to the first topic, we're going to talk about the offseason. Arguably would say the biggest release of this week. J. Cole released his newest album that he said he would release a week ago. And since then, I thought he's done a pretty good promo run where he went on, did LA Leakers, did two freestyles, or technically one freestyle with two different beats. He announced that he's going to play in an African basketball league. And I think he plays his first game on Sunday. Yeah, I think somebody on Twitter said that game will be on TV on ESPN at 7 a.m. I haven't checked that. I haven't fact-checked it, but I need to go back and check that. He released a documentary for the offseason. Like, it's been nice. It's been nice. And he also released a single called Interlude, which is just an interlude where he's rapping for, like, a minute and no more than that. The album is here. We finally got it. He's actually included features. It's a 12-track album. Let's start with the notorious J. Cole hater. We'll start with Cord. Cord, what were your first impressions listening to the offseason?
Hey, man, I was shocked, surprised, and confused. Usually when I listen to a Cole album, I'd be frustrated. I'd be upset. I'd be like, man, why you doing all this extra stuff? That man just came through the gate rapping. Like, he came through. He said, look. I know y'all get tired of me preaching. Y'all get tired of me coming here talking about other folks. I'm finna tell y'all what I got going on, and I'm finna wrap my ass off. I love that album, man. I ain't gonna hold you. And y'all know, it ain't been a Cole project in a long time to just get me excited to listen to some Cole. But he did it. He did it. He did everything he was supposed to do.
And you say he did everything he was supposed to do. What is probably like the biggest change you think for this album relative to the last couple albums that you weren't that big a fan of? Cole wasn't a big fan of KOD. He wasn't a big fan of For Your Eyes Only. What would you say would be the biggest difference for this album?
You already know. When Cole talk about Cole, ain't no. It's, I don't want to say it's people. It's some things people I think is better, but he one of the best when he just talking about himself. My biggest issue with Cole is he go drop a single. He talking about Kanye. He dropped KOD to talk about the state of the young rappers in hip hop. And when we talked about the album, what did I say? I said the best song on the album is Kevin Hart when he talking about himself. He talking about his family. He talking about what he going through. If I'm listening to your album, I want to hear about you, not nobody else. So to hear him just come through and say, look, I ain't trying to come in with these profit bars, none of that. I ain't here to say hip hop. I just want to have fun. That's all I wanted. And that's what I got.
Same course. Same.
And J. Cole had a lot of fun. Like I
a
think
a lot of fun. The beats.
The beats were really good.
You could just hear it in the energy of like of a lot of the songs that he was rapping, like the energy he was rapping with. Like he said, fuck that whole concept stuff, fuck that whole
platinum with
those features. He's just out there rapping. Like that's the same thing I wanted from him and Drake for the longest. Like leave all that other stuff. You know, one album is cool enough to do a concept, but you know, just come out and rap. Not everybody can do what Kendrick does. And I think Kendrick kind of
And I think it's so funny because I was like talking to Daniel when the interlude came out. You know, Daniel's gonna tell you about it, his opinion on the album soon, but he's not a big fan of when Cole does a whole like sing songy melodic type style thing. But I would tell him, like, more than anything, Daniel, is the energy I like on the interlude. Like, I can't like the like when I think about For Your Eyes Only, I can't off the top of my head, I can't really think of a song that Cole rapped with that much force as he did like on the interlude. I might be tripping, but like when I think of like For Your Eyes Only, I don't think of him rapping that feverishly. And then like when we get to the off season, that energy is actually being matched on almost every single song where he's like from the jump, he's like rapping as hard as he can, you know, projecting his voice, rapping as if he loves rapping. And I was like, that's something that's kind of been missing from like that was kind of missing from KOD, that was kind of missing from
For Your Eyes Only.
He's very laid back. Like he settles into his, you know, flow. He's comfortable on a beat that he's probably produced, and he just goes with the flow. But on these, like he's attacking the beat. Like he's really getting after it. Daniel, you want to tell us a little bit? Like what did you think about the album?
I agree with y'all, but there's some points where I don't agree with you guys.
Go ahead.
I'll get into that.
Hey,
I personally think the album is phenomenal. I'm like five listens in, something like that. Interlude stinks. I don't really care what Jordan says. every listen that I hear, I've been listening to Cole. That was like in the ninth grade. I'm a grown ass man now. So I got, I guess, high expectations. I don't listen to Cole to hear him sing. I don't listen to him to hear him be melodic. Mm-hmm. I was very upset. I was telling Jordan, I'm hitting Jordan as I'm listening. So 95 South, I'm like pacing back and forth through the crib. I'm just going through rooms, just like looking at something to do because my energy is that high because I believe he's rapping at that high of an energy. Track two come, all that energy just gone because you reverted back to singing. And I don't understand what's this like insistence to keep singing. I think the project is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, but there are just certain points where I just wasn't cool. I personally feel like that, you know, the millionaire, there was a few corny bars. The Mario thing was corny. I don't know why people running with that.
I like
the way he delivered it.
I think it's when people take it out of just not let's say it's like a whole kind of context in it, but when you read it
look crazy.
Then when you just read that one line by itself and nothing else, like you don't rap it, you just reading it, it's like, oh, this ain't nothing special. But him just saying it in the flow of the song, like I didn't even think none of it the first time I heard it.
Yeah. I read it on Twitter and I said, you know what? I don't think this was the one. But I personally like him. You know, popping, I don't think Cole's a really arrogant rapper. And me personally, I like arrogant rappers. Like, I like my rapper to tell me, I'm better than you. I'm wealthier than you. You're impoverished. Like, why are you here? So I enjoyed him telling No Name, like, you talking about millionaires, you're a bum. Like, what is this? So I enjoyed that energy. I like Cole. Yeah. I like where he is.
One song, well, I think the name of the song, it was like, let me see, the one he was going crazy on that joint.
The one he was ranting at the end, applying
pressure. Yeah, he was like, man, I just gotta let a nigga know, like, nigga, I'm better than you, nigga. Like, this is me, I'm that nigga. You can't do it like I'm doing. I was like, yeah, Cole, talk your shit. I was fucking with
you. Nah, I was laughing because like it took me like a minute into the rant to realize, like, hold on, he's just been ranting for like a whole minute. Just been talking for a whole minute.
Last minute, yeah.
You know, like some rappers, like they'll do it and then they go, like they slide back into the song. I'm like, no, wait, no, he's going to close the song just doing this for like a minute and a half straight.
He did the Tupac at the end of Hit 'Em Up. Yeah. He was just going
on. No one of you niggas got sickle cell.
Carbon project.
He asked that question knowing the answer. Oh, Dre, tell me, what were your first thoughts on the album? What was your first impression?
Ah, man. So, like, Daniel, I've been listening to J. Cole for ever since the warm-up. So, yeah. You know, my expectations are high with everything Cole dropping. I absolutely love this album. Like, I don't know if it's my favorite Cole album. I need more time with it, but I've never heard Cole album initially this much. Like, so honestly, this album, it feels kind of like a mixtape to me because there's, like, no real, like, theme to it or whatever. Come here. Sorry, y'all.
This is fine. It's
Say
fine.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, so I'll be out in a second, all right? Okay, all right. I'll be out in a second. Sorry about that. But yeah, this album feels like a mixtape to me because it's like him just going off, him just spitting, just like, I'm better than you. You can't rap this good. And he basically went out and proved it. And based off the documentaries, how he was talking like, I'm trying to reach a new level from a technical sense. So I'm excited. I'm like, okay, all right, well, you better put your money where your mouth is. You better be spitting. He came with it, bro. He came with it. I love this album.
I feel like the fact that he did get outside production, he did get some outside features and voices into the album. It didn't allow him to be lax. Like, he couldn't just go in there and just rap half-assedly or just give a spit an okay verse with an okay energy. Like, he had to come in like, okay, I'm gonna give it my 100 every time I go in here in the booth.
He didn't produce all of those songs. What I was gonna ask her.
No. He had DJ Dahi, he had Timbaland, he had it was a plethora of other names, Jake One, Boy Wonder, I believe.
That makes me think, like, was it that he just couldn't, not that he couldn't rap, but like far as the songs where he was on his own, like, damn, maybe if he just had features and other people inputs, maybe those albums like For Your Eyes Only or KOD may have been a lot different of albums, or the songs may have been hit differently if he had outside voices.
I hate to cut you off. I don't like the narrative that like is created around Cole. Like, he's just been like releasing subpar music for like eons.
No. He's not. I love KOD. Ford hates it. I love KOD. I had to shut on yesterday.
Just started.
I hate it.
Solely producing because Forest Hill Drive has outside production. Warren Center has outside production. Everything has outside production. He produces a lot of it, but it's not like it's always just been solely Cole. So
It's a lot of in-house production.
Like, I think this is the least he's produced.
And it sounds like
his albums. Yeah.
And it wasn't that I was saying it was subpar. I was just thinking maybe those albums wouldn't be, because people, like, let's just be honest about it. A lot of people call it that. They call it melatonin, Bram. Like, they don't
know.
Yeah, but people say that, but then the album feels like double platinum. So somebody's lying at some point.
Somebody.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm just saying, maybe it would have been better.
Come on, man.
I think, Daniel, even if you think those albums were good, I think it says a lot that, while I think that J. Cole did become too infatuated with the idea of, oh, I could just do the entire album. Yeah, the whole album by myself. And people seem to, and that could, is a feat, you know, like not to, you know, sneeze at or anything like that, is a feat. But I feel like he still handicapped himself. Like, I think Forest Hill Drive is a good album. But sometimes, now after hearing this album, I had to wonder to myself, like, how much better could it have been if he had features that complemented him and what he was trying to do on that album? And like, I think about that, like on KOD, and like, I think now about For Your Eyes Only, like those albums, like how different could they have been if he got artists that could complement those tracks and, you know, bring another voice. Yeah, exactly.
Like, a lot of songs, I know for me, a lot of the songs on KOD, like in the beginning, because I like the second, I love the second half, but the first half of KOD, I felt like his hooks were just not it. Like, his
motivate,
would just
motivate.
Yeah, motivate. He just, you know, somebody that, you know, he was trying to make a trap album. I'm sure he could have got some type of trap feature, and that probably would have sounded a whole lot better coming out of, you know, somebody else's mouth.
I agree. I'm you this one. I agree. I just don't like Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've had like a few cold conversations, of course, recently, but then over the span of like the past decade.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think the internet sometimes create narratives that then like spin off into real life. Because I feel like prior to the internet, there were conversations about coal I feel like I'd never heard.
Mm-hmm.
But then like these topics like become a thing, people become emboldened, and then they start to repeat and like replicate what they
see.
And
then it
throws me off. So once I agree with you, I personally don't like KOD. I just told Galan, that's the co-album I enjoy the least. Like, I just don't think it's good. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't really pay attention to what Ibrahim says, because when it dropped, he was like, nah, this is his best work ever. Well, I'm like, so then I listened.
That's a homie right there.
No, of course. And that's, well, your homie's supposed to lie to you, but also tell you the truth. So that's it. But no, I agree. I think Cole benefits from outside production. I believe he benefits from the idea of collaboration. I think that's why we heralded his feature run so much, because he just works well with other people. He compliments them, they compliment him. I love Cole and Miguel as a tandem. I wanted to hear Miguel somewhere on this. I don't know where he would have fit, but I would have liked for that duo to make a comeback. So I agree, Cole does benefit from that, but I do think Cole does also excel on his own, because I believe still to this day, Forest Hills Drive is his best project, his best complete project. Of course, it's only been out for like, this new one only been out for 2 days, so I don't really know why I'm ranking it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, Forest Hills Drive is his most complete body of work.
Agreed. So while we're on the topic of the features, let's talk about the names and guys and gals that he brought into this album. Dre, so what were your favorite features on this album?
J. Cole and 21 Savage make a really great combo.
So weird hearing that.
Like, I was telling Jordan the other night, bro. I was like, he told 21 Savage talk that, I mean, rap, that him and J. Cole would be like a damn dynamic duo. Like, I was like, nigga, what?
Yeah.
Like, not J. Cole, but 21 Savage first, like, breakout song. What was it? Was it Issa? Was that the album?
Not the album.
Issa was the album. Bank account.
Him and J. Cole go crazy. I'm like, nigga, no.
Yeah, but I would have I like a lot, but I thought that was kind of like a one-time thing. Like, okay, y'all flash in the pan, but nah, they really got something together.
You don't think this new song sounds like a lot?
It does. It's like soulful, it's bouncy, and you know, it's a similar formula, but I like it as well. And
he got with Grammy, can't be mad, dude.
Yeah, definitely. But I like Lil Baby's verse. I like Lil Baby on features. For some reason, I can't really like listen to a whole project of him. Like, but every time I hear him on a features, it really sounds good. Like, he really be rapping. So I don't know what it is, but Moray's hook on My Life, which is obviously the sample from the Styles P and Pheromone song. So I thought that was really good. I thought that was. It was kind of great because, like, you know, Cole calls himself the middle child. So it's like to have Moray and 21 Savage, some newer guys, but sample a Styles P and Pheromone song. Like, I felt like that was a real
poetic
of two generations, pretty much. So I thought that was dope. But I did not know that was Boss singing on
100 Mil. I'm just not seeing that myself.
100 Mil, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it don't sound like Boss at all. I was like, he's singing on that, on Hunger on Hillside, and
he's on Let Go My Hand, apparently.
Yeah, Let Go My Hand. He's at the end singing. That's him.
Well, found a new lane, hadn't he? Shoot.
I swear. But yeah, I feature that he chose for this.
Let's see, Mark.
Don't be Boss in the future. I wanted to respond to something. Y'all talking about Lil Baby, and I think Lil Baby might, I know that has nothing to do with Cole. But I think Lil Baby might benefit from something, and maybe that was Cole's issue. I think a lot of artists need an executive producer, but someone to come in and say, hey, you veering off topic. Hey, I think you sound well over this. Hey, I don't think you sound great over this. So I think that may be Baby's issue, and maybe that could have been Cole's issue for a long time, because everything is in the house. Sometimes you need someone who's not around to come give you fresh ears and say, hey, you know what? You veering off topic. Let's make a turn here.
Ibrahim also, like, related to Lil Baby, said that the process that Lil Baby uses as a rapper, then like in the booth and like preparing and like rapping. He said it's unlike anything he's seen before. I can't only imagine what that means. That's so vague. Like, I'm like, yeah. Oh, Lil Baby's doing things in the booth that you've never seen any rapper do. J. Cole been in the booth with a lot of great rappers. Like, what's Lil Baby doing that's differently? But it's clear that he's doing something, because when he gets in the booth with like Drake and now Cole, like, he brings his best effort, and it's usually a show-stopping verse. Like,
absolutely.
Like, I feel like he stole the show on Pride is the Devil and on Wants and Needs with Drake. My favorite feature on this album, I'm gonna tell you what, I was excited as hell hearing Cameron at the beginning talking.
Oh yeah,
I was like,
they caught me off guard.
And then Lil John at the end screaming, like, I was like, oh, like, yeah, I was like, and like, and it's like, oh man, it felt so Southern, like here. Like hearing Lil John, yo, I was,
and the song title 95 South,
yeah, like, and it confirmed it from that. And the song did so many things, because hearing Cameron and Lil John, like, okay, we're getting features, so like, you know, we came in thinking, like, are we gonna get features on this album?
It's, yeah,
I'm hitting features, so hearing them, it's the excitation of hearing Cameron talking, which is dope, hearing Lil John somehow finding his way on a Cole's album, which I was
hyping you up.
Like, if y'all told me who's like, we, if we made a list of people who was gonna be on J. Cole album, we would
not. Lil Jon would not have been.
We didn't even doubt Lil Jon. So it was cool seeing how he was incorporated, being himself on a J. Cole song. That's probably, like, even though I enjoyed the rest of the features, hearing that from the beginning, those two from the beginning set the tone for the entire album that Cole then carried over throughout the rest. So that was probably my favorite features of the album. What about you? What about you guys? Y'all had a feature. Y'all want to talk?
I think you touched on everything. Honestly, I just enjoyed the album, the entirety. No skips for me. Me and Jordan talked that night it came out. Man, Jordan was excited. Jordan
not been a party. Jordan was excited the whole week.
I'm listening to nothing else. He said this is Cole's best album, and I was like, you know what, Jordan, I might have to. Yeah. I had the co-sign, but we gotta let it breathe before we come out with that hot take.
I'm gonna put it on wax, because I usually don't ever just make broad proclamations like that after hearing an album for like the first time or ever like a couple of times. But sometimes I hear stuff for the first time and it just invoke a thought in me, and I thought to myself, like, yeah, I don't think I felt this way about a J. Cole album on the first listen ever. And that's why I said I think this is his best album yet. From the energy, from the rapping, the production, the features, there's not really much I could say about.
Jordan,
what's that?
I feel like another reason why you may feel like that is because you went into those other projects with a probably higher expectation than you did with this one.
Yeah, so that's
like,
true. That's true.
No, these last two albums, let's say they were below your expectations. So you went into this, you're like, well, let me lower my expectation, because you did say that. You said you said you was thinking before this album came out, maybe I've been too hard on Cole. And then he came out and he was rapping his ass off, and you was like, damn, you know what? I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? I was right to be as hard as I was on him. And that's because your expectations was a lot lower. And I feel like that's the best way to listen to music, is to not give it, you know, have expectations, or, you know.
Yep, absolutely.
Try not to put people on too high of a pedestal. Just enjoying the body of work for what it is.
Exactly.
I'm going to keep real with y'all. I thought he would come on here with vaccine bars and talking about No Name and books. That's what I was expecting. I mean, this is a surprise.
You thought, wait. You thought Cole gonna talk about books, Cord?
Man, I ain't gotta read a book. Check out shit my pockets. You know some shit like that. Y'all know how Cole is.
I mean, I feel like he kind of
used to be. That, I mean,
not what I heard. I don't know what you heard.
But I'm gonna say this. It felt like a little shot, but he don't read, so it don't matter.
I got my thinking cap on. That's what I heard.
He don't read, so it don't matter.
But. Do you guys have any other like takes on like any other first impressions? Like something else? Go ahead, Cord.
Ebro said Cole got four classics. I was disgusted. Doing some nasty takes.
We ain't getting into that. We ain't getting into that.
I think Cole did
in a row. Four in a row. He said four in a row.
Did a good job on this project, Cord. I'm definitely purposely speaking over you. I think Cole did a good job on this project. I think it is far superior to KOD. I will always feel like Cole's an elite artist. No, I don't think Cole's like an Earl Sweatshirt type rhymer. He doesn't have to be. I don't think he needs that to be an elite MC.
No.
So, I think it's a great project. I'm intrigued to see what what's coming next supposed to be. It's the Fall Off, or like It's a Boy, or It's a Boy, then the Fall Off. And even on this, he makes references to the Fall Off. Like after the Fall Off, he says he's gonna start touring. So yeah, I'm just intrigued to see where he goes from here. From the, we didn't really talk about the documentary, but to me it's like an extended music video because that wasn't even 20 minutes, so I don't feel right calling it a documentary.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. But he seems to be kind of jaded by hip hop. I was talking to someone recently about Cole, Nicki, and Kendrick and how they're all the same person but different. So she was saying how, you know, all of those three artists are artists that kind of prioritize their private life and kind of mm-hmm. like give you what they want and then just pack up and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, funny enough, at the same time, I think all three of those artists recently, in one way or another, have expressed, this is pretty much looking like the end. So I'm intrigued to see what path Cole is going to carve out for himself for the end, because I think the end is imminent. I yes. feel that coming. So I want to see how that goes. I just want to track with Dot and Cole before, I mean, Dot and Cole, Dot and Drake before he
closes it. They got to give us that on the fall off. And I agree with you, Daniel. To, like, I think that Cole knowing this is the end is also what's made him like say, okay, this is about to be the end. Let me, you know, like I said, let me cement my legacy of who I like. Let me leave with these guys with what I want them to see me as before I go. And I think that's why he was able to come with this brand new revive energy, because he had a goal. I had actually said this a while back. I remember I think it was on Nas' album, It's Done. I think he was rapping about, I think he mentioned like retiring or something like that. That was like back in like 2017. I can't remember exactly mm-hmm. when. And I thought mm-hmm. to myself, like, you know what? Cole don't really be talking about being the best rapper alive anymore. And he used to rap about doing that all the time. Like, I was looking to his older mixtapes before the album dropped at midnight. And I was like, Cole was rapping about being how he wants to be the best rapper alive on like almost every other song on his older mixtapes, these Lucy's that he didn't make his mixtapes. I'm like, I don't ever hear him say that anymore. I don't ever hear him talk about how he wants to be better than the next man up. And I feel like he kind of lost his goal and purpose going into albums. And I think that's why he had lesser energy, like entering like For Your Eyes Only and KOD. But now I feel like he has this new goal of, I want to better myself. I want to be an elite rapper, and that's why I want to be perceived. And I think that new revised goal of his is what led to him rapping better on Offseason. And I think that's what gets me high expectations for the fall off, because he knows, I know he wants to go out with a big bang. So I know he's going to go out, he's going to pull out everything.
This is last album, or we're just speculating.
Well, he posted on Instagram a while back. He said, I got some things on my checklist I want to do before I scram. And like on it was like Feature Run marked out, Revenge of the Dreamers marked out. And then it had Circle. Next was the Offseason. And next was like a title said It's a Boy. And then the next title was The Fall Off. And then it was like the top paper was like The Fall Off Era. So when he said he's hinting that that's going to be it for him. You know, rappers don't ever really retire. Word to Logic, no. Most recently. So, yeah, but that's probably going to be his unofficial retirement. That's going to probably be his unofficial last album.
And if you watch the doc, once again, he's speaking about retirement and how you know it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So. If the fall off, I doubt it comes this year. It'll probably come next year. You know, he'll probably be like 37. You know, if It's a Boy is something that comes out between it, like he'll be like 38 possibly when the fall off releases. If It's a Boy is actually like a full length project like this that releases maybe a year later. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense, honestly. Shoot, even Drake has talked about retirement. That's the crazy thing about it. It's so wild hearing these guys, superstars. So wild hearing this from them. But
we'll take the mantle.
Who is?
I don't think we'll have a real replacement like that. I think there'll be artists that are prominent. So like, I think Lil Baby is going on a run. I think The Baby is going on a run. Cardi B is doing what she does. But I don't think there's going to be like one artist to like fill the space in the way the artist in like the past decade did. So I think hip hop's in good hands, but I don't think it's in that same. I don't think we have that anymore.
I don't think there's a leader of the new school yet. I don't. Whoever that's going to be.
Goals.
Whoever that's going to be, we ain't met him yet, I don't think.
It's looking like Lil Baby.
Yeah, I mean, he's the person that young and old generations love. Like, he's being everywhere. Yeah. People, like, he's universally loved. I just don't think his solo projects, which we have to wait and see. You know, his last solo project was a breakout. We'll wait and see what the next one sounds like, but I can't.
Yeah.
I can't see it myself personally. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so just to have a little fun, over and under. We're going to do an over under for the points per game that Cole will average. Did I say he's going to average or he's going to debut?
Not with? Put up tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to. I said, what the points? I said how many points he's going to average. So we'll do points he's going to put up tomorrow and average. Over and under 10 points a game tomorrow in his debut. What y'all thinking?
10 tomorrow.
Hmm?
Over 10 tomorrow, over 5.
Over 5.
I give him 10. I see him getting 3 threes and some free throws.
Mm. 3 threes?
Cole got a strap, man. Yeah. Cole got a strap on him. I'm not going to lie.
38.
Hey. He getting at least 12 points.
I said 30. I thought I said 10. Did I not say 10?
No, I said his age. He is 38. That man.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what all heads do.
He's 36.
Old heads spot up in the corner and shoot.
All right.
Kevin Love still on here. Junior Reddick out here, you know, 12 points.
But what's the average age in that league and like the guys?
You know, is it a professional league or is this like some like a men's? What is?
Let me go double check that because when Woj reported it, it sounded like it was a major African league. But I'm gonna see. Let's see. J. Cole.
We're playing for the Patriots. You see it?
African league. So. Quiz going with 12 points. You said 3 threes and a what?
I said 3 threes for free throws, so like 10 or 11.
Yeah. Let's see. It says, how to watch J. Cole's pro debut in Basketball African League. Let's see. Now, what league is this? They're playing the Basketball African League's inaugural season. So I think it's just the African Basketball League.
What country are they playing in? Or like what team are they playing?
Let's see. It says Cole 36 signed a deal to play 3-6 games with Rwanda. Yeah, on Tuesday. And was welcomed his new teammates personnel. Yeah, for the Rwanda Patriots have won 4 of Rwanda National Basketball League championships. His team has announced in the capital city of Kigali. So yeah, you'd have a better idea exactly where that is than me, Dan, I think.
So while I think it says a lot about the league that they're signing a 36-year-old rapper, I have my respect for Cole because anything that's going to bring like a positive push as far as image towards Africa or anything connected to Africa, I got to respect. And I know this is just like old man delusion and him just wanting to like live out a dream. So I'm sure he doesn't take this too seriously, but I can just respect it because – well, one, he probably couldn't have been signed anywhere else. But the fact that he's still doing this, I like that it'll be a positive look for Africa and the African League. And I'm sure some people will tune in, get them some views, some dollars, whatever. I'm sure fans will buy his jersey.
Oh my, Cole could definitely play in the Drew League. The game played in the Drew League. Cole could definitely play in the Drew League.
Anyway, I'm glad that he's doing this for Africa. And I think it'll be good work on that end.
So how y'all think this conversation went? Like, do y'all feel like Cole's like, hey, let me pay y'all this amount of money to let me hoop on y'all team? Y'all feel like he like they had like open gym and he just happened to show up and they're like, is that J. Cole? And like he dazzled him and made the team. Like
I think he just told his agent or something. He was like, hey, bro, I want to hoop. And then his agent was like, bet. And he just found him. So kind of like that's kind of how it works with any anybody signing overseas. Like they just tell their agents like, hey, yo, I'm trying to hoop. And that agent go and just contact everybody, and then whoever gets back is like,
somebody got to answer.
I wonder if that's the only league that answered, or did he have other
options? It's kind of like LaMelo Ball in the Lithuania. You know, his dad was like, hey, who trying to sign my son to come hoop? And
I wonder if Lithuania say yeah, but then Cole like, nah, I ain't going there. You see what I'm saying? Like, I wonder how many leagues say like, oh yeah, we glad to have you, J. Cole. And he's like, nah, I ain't going there. I ain't going
you know there. He only hooping in the motherland. You already know that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, do y'all remember when Lil B tried out for the Warriors?
Oh,
I actually don't.
That was a minute ago.
I'm going to let you. Of course, you know that, Cora, but you know.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Lil B outside of my hip-hop history knowledge. I ain't going to lie to you. Anything he done, I ain't too familiar with it. But, I guess it's the perfect time to talk about a little basketball. The NBA playoffs, like I said, start in a week. Play-in start next week. And there's a lot of – I feel like there's a lot of contenders this year. At least there's a lot of teams who have put up a case to fit that title. So
you
let me
– think so?
I think so. Like, you look at the Jazz, like, they have the best record in the NBA. So, like, yeah. By extension, you kind of got to call them a contender.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I'm not trying to hear it. Come on, man. You don't believe in Rudy.
Donovan Mitchell not even back yet. I'm not buying it.
Is he not? He gotta be.
No, Donovan Mitchell hasn't played in like 3 weeks, I think.
Oh shit. Yeah.
But Donovan Mitchell's been dropping like 40 on like random Tuesdays. I don't know what the fuck they got going on over there, but I mean, they hooping.
Okay. Yes. Clarkson been hooping.
I mean,
Clarkson been hooping too.
Some people try to say, you know, because then, and I think the team with the second best record in the NBA is the Phoenix Suns. So people want to throw them in there. Then you got both LAs, even despite being the fourth and the seventh seed, people believe them to be contenders because of the players they have on their roster. Then you look at the East, you know, naturally going to have, they got to cap contend. Naturally, they think the Sixers are the contenders because they have the best record in the East, an MVP candidate. You look at the Nets. With all, you know, the conglomerate, you know, their big three, and then you look at the Bucks, because you know, with Giannis, you gotta give them a consideration for being contenders. And the Nuggets would have been considered contenders too if they didn't lose Murray, but nobody realistically believes in them because of that. Mm-hmm. And maybe I guess some people probably think the Heat are, because I mean, they're right back where they were last year before they made the finals anyway. They was like the fourth, fifth seed last year making the finals.
And they so beat brace off the Sixers the other day.
And so I guess you could call them contenders as well if you really believe in what they did in the bubble. It's replicable. So I feel like there's a lot of teams that could don the title of contender. So I'm going to ask you guys, who do y'all feel like is the most dangerous team outside of both LAs and the Nets? Who you think is the most dangerous team out of the East and the West?
I think the Bucks are starting to click at the right time. They're peaking at the right time. And then also in the West, I'm not going to lie, man, that Phoenix team is nice. Like, Devin Booker, he hasn't even been playing well these last couple games. And, like, random niggas like Cam Payne and Torrey Craig and Jay Crowder, like, they just stepping up in his place. And, like, that's what you need. Like, your others have to be that good in the playoffs for you to win. Like, if you don't have the star power, the others have to be like word to the Mavs, the 2011 Mavs. Like, if your others are there, then you're going to be good. You're going to be a tough team to beat, because once those other starters get tired and you're taken out, you can rotate guys in who can produce just as much, and you're good. You're always going to be golden.
Okay, even the Mavs last year, they were stepping up.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
They don't really have. I say their weak point is that they don't have like somebody on their roster outside Devin Booker who can like go get them like maybe like 20 plus every game in the playoffs.
Nah, Chris Paul definitely.
Okay, Chris Paul.
We gotta stop. At this age,
started one game. He might stop. Use a 15 the next.
Chris Paul. He whatever his team needs him to do. Like last night when Devin Booker was off, Chris Paul, I think he shot 7 for 7 in the third quarter. Finished the game with like 28, 29 points, like 10 assists.
But like he has,
not capable. We're saying, can Chris Paul do that on a nightly basis?
Because does he have to do it
on a nightly basis?
I don't know. But like you know, in the playoffs, they're gonna try to take away Devin, so they're gonna try to make somebody else, you know, be that score, kill them.
Chris Paul can make the plays for other people. I feel like what they're gonna do is they're going to put a chokehold on both Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and they're going to make DeAndre Ayton beat them. That's who I think is the X factor in every series that they're going to play in. If DeAndre Ayton can be what they drafted him to be, then they're going to be A-OK. But if he folds under the pressure, then they'll probably be a first or second round exit. That's just me being honest.
I mean, the thing about it. I say they're gonna have to play the Lakers first round. That's what it's looking like.
Or second.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but you know, much love to that team. I think they've exceeded expectations. They've done a phenomenal job. But you know, sometimes you got to run into the real, and that's life. Sometimes that don't mean you're not just other people, just better. So, but much respect to them.
When is Shorter back yet for the Lakers?
Sure enough, is. Cutting up.
Yeah, right, he came back today.
Yeah,
cutting up.
Conveniently, Bron, Shoulder, and AD all came back today. LeBron, funny boy. That's all I'm gonna say. But
didn't your team purposely lose yesterday? What are we talking about?
Purposely lose. I mean, we rested players in the end of the season. That's not the first time that's ever happened in the NBA. It happens literally every year.
I bet.
Hey, man. Tyloo said if Zubac had a three, everybody would go chill. You know, he did three, everybody said, man, we finna chill in the Jay Scrub night. It was just Scrub night.
Exactly, man. They let Zubac end up taking threes. You know we weren't taking that game seriously, man. We chilling. It's end of the season.
I know they weren't. They purposely weren't taking it seriously. That's the whole point.
I got no. Oh, since we talking about that, then I got a question for the question Lakers too. Dang, what happened to LeBron last year? The play in, man. That's amazing. That's just they fall.
So, let me provide context because I love to be an educated black man. What LeBron said last year was for the bubble, the play-in made sense. Before that, he's on record years ago saying he does not agree with the play-in. He does not think it's okay.
So why what's your opinion on this when you become, like, when he was the third, fourth, fifth seed, hey, he was cool. I ain't hear Ron say anything about the play-in.
I'm telling you, we can look it up. Before he made that comment, he said he does not like the play-in. Personally, I hate to defend LeBron.
Been knowing about the play-in all year, all season. Why am I just now hearing once the Lakers fall into the play-in, that's when I hear problems. That's what I want to know.
Jordan knows I hate LeBron James, so I hate to eat like.
Yeah. we're not going to stay on this. We're going to just get back to talking about the most dangerous teams out of the East and West. So we said the Suns. Did anybody else think that there's a team more dangerous than the Suns? Outside of the LAs and the Nets.
I'm tired of everybody putting disrespect on Rudy Gobert's name. When Donovan Mitchell come back, they go catch somebody slipping. Somebody getting caught slipping, and Rudy go show to the world. And he didn't do it last year. I wrong last year. But this year, he go show to the world. He the best defensive big in the league. And y'all can't be making memes out of him no more.
So the guy that did a back move yesterday and threw the ball backcourt. You talking about that?
Oh, no. Hey, court.
I ain't watched the game.
You know what? Like I said, I just stopped Daniel and Jacquez from going off track. But now I got to bring this up because I didn't get to talk about it while we were on hiatus. But, Core, you want to tell Dre who you thought should have been his starting center?
Hey, man. Okay. A year or two ago, I still feel this way, though. I felt like y'all should have went after Drummond. Drummond should have been y'all's center. I think he a great third piece on the team. Like, you know, at the time, the Mavs had a lot of shooters, so it would have made sense last year to have Drummond. Now, I don't know, man. Drummond looking a little – maybe John was on the song.
A little bit.
Why would y'all listen to the man who watched this man hoop all the time? I don't understand.
Joe pulled up to the palace, torturing himself, watching Drummond post ups. He knew exactly what that man was.
Hey. But at the time, I was like, it's him and Blake, man. You know, they got Reggie Jackson. The lineup went too hot. So, you know, he was just going out there just doing the thing. But, you know, it would have been him
doing his thing. You're right.
Zingis, Self Curry, Tim, you know. It would be him and a bunch of shooters. I feel like he would have thrived.
But you know what's funny about that though? It's like I was actually considering it. Like when he was a free agent or whatever, and when they bought him out or whatever, I was like, you know what? Maybe we could bring Drummond in. Because normally Drummond has been like the first or second option, and that is not what anybody wants. So I was considering it. But once he went to the Lakers and I saw that he was just some straight up mid, I was like, dodge that bullet.
I'm trying to be respectful of my like analysis of Drummond, but I've been a Lakers fan since I don't even know. Like I watch Robert Saccaray. I've never been
more
a player than Drummond. Like he big, but he don't really got no post moves. His hands big as shit, but he could never catch the ball. Even today, like I'm seeing LeBron throw passes and it's just slipping through his hands. He don't really understand the concept of rebound and putback. And I just don't get it. And I'd be so frustrated texting Jordan. And there's some things I said, I won't even repeat it because I can't believe like I stooped to that level to say it. But I've just never been so angered watching a player play.
Oh, man. All right, Stephen A.
Yeah, he stinks. He's not
good. He should have went to Boston.
And Jordan tried to convince me that Drummond was going to be exactly. He was like, nah, I'm telling you, Daniel.
this is what y'all need.
Now, I'm gonna tell you what I saw Bron turn water to wine with Dwight, yeah. JaVale McGee. I just could not fathom
a Hall of Famer.
I could not fathom that Andre Drummond. I could not fathom that Andre Drummond could not benefit from the Bron stimulus.
Let Lakers fans say when they first got him, and Andre Drummond, he's a top five player in the league,
man. Who said that?
Kareem Abdul Drummond.
Man, I was like, bro, you don't think it's a reason y'all get this man for this cheap? Do you not think it's a reason why the Cavs just said, you know what, you can have him. You know, we don't even want nothing back. You got him.
The Pistons traded him for nothing.
Literally second round picks.
Yeah,
that's so nuts when you like really think back on it. But go back to the Cord's thing. He said the Jazz are, he thinks, the most scary team out of the LA.
Somebody sleeping.
I'm gonna tell you what, Corey, you keep saying it. I think we're gonna be the ones that are gonna have to play them in the second round. And I ain't gonna lie to you. I do not want to play the Jazz. I ain't gonna hold you. They have a lot of wings they could throw at Kawhi and PG. And most importantly, like despite what you say about Gobert, he locks that paint down, and the Clippers already struggle with getting paint points in the paint. So it'll be even to have somebody like him in the paint contesting the few shots we're even getting there. Like I just don't like it, man. Like,
and I will say this: I would much rather watch Zubac put Drummond in hell than watch Gobert put Zubac in hell. I'm putting it that way.
And you know, Zubac usually does fine against Gobert. It's just that Gobert keeps people like Kawhi and PG from driving to the rim consistently, and like
one of them game he put.
And to be honest,
with like 20-16, like he put some crazy on Zubac one game.
And to be honest with you, the team that was exploiting Gobert the most every time he went to the postseason was the Rockets. They played
Rockets.
It was the team that could play five out. Like there aren't really that many teams in the West that play like that anymore. The teams they're going to face the first round, well, technically it's the Warriors. But the Warriors are not equipped to beat them four times in a series. Like they're equipped to maybe steal a couple games, but they're not equipped to beat them four times. Nah. And in the second round, they're going to play against the Clippers or Mavs, which I don't think the Mavs could probably space they could probably space Gobert out, but ultimately, I just don't feel like they could overpower him. Clippers same way. Like we couldn't adequately space Gobert out enough to exploit him. So the thing that we pick on Gobert the most for, I don't think there's teams in the West right now that could actually do that to him.
Yeah. Harden down, so he's safe.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Harden and then Curry don't got enough weapons to really, really take it to him.
Mm-hmm. But outside of the LA teams and Brooklyn, I still believe in Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. I still think that, I mean, Jimmy Butler is quietly having his best season. I mean, he's putting up like 21-7-7. Bam is getting better. Hero is he's up and down, but when he's on.
He's been settling into his role of coming on the bench.
Duncan Robinson, you know what he's gonna bring. You know, he's gonna hit threes. Ariza has been really good for him. Say what?
I said he put them clumps on Ben Simmons.
Hey, you see it. So, you know, Ariza's been good for him. You know, they still got Iggy, you know, secondary playmaking, defense, you know, championship experience, and you still got Dragic. And he was the leading scorer for the Heat in the playoffs until the finals.
Yeah, it was.
So, I still like that team a lot.
I think it's so funny that y'all are ignoring Mike Budenholzer's team and the black Mike Budenholzer's team in the East. I think it's so funny.
Did Jaquez say the Bucks?
Okay. Well, y'all just ignore black Budenholzer then. My bad.
Hey,
y'all didn't say the Sixers.
This is my thing with them. There's two things.
Okay.
One, Doc Rivers exists. Yeah. Okay. He's going to be on the sideline. He's going to be making decisions. That's the first thing. And second of all, is Embiid ready to be the guy? And when I say the guy, I mean like when it's 3 minutes left and it's a tie game and you like, okay, get a ball to your best player to carry us to a win. Is Embiid ready to be that guy?
Because he's going to have to be that guy because there's literally nobody else on that team that can make that has the adequate shot creation to consistently do that. Like during the season, they've relied on Tobias Harris to do that. Tobias Harris is not that guy that's going to get you from the first round to the finals if you had to consistently depend on him. It's going to have to be somebody of the talent level of Ben Simmons or Embiid. Ben Simmons don't have the offensive repertoire to do that.
Yeah, and where is Ben Simmons going to be on the court when it's time for crunch time? You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
No. Exactly.
He can't be sitting at the three-point line. Where, you know, he obviously can't have the ball in his hand.
It's going to take some creative thinking on the coach's part, and that kind of goes back to Dre's first point. I think, and I've told Daniel, I've tried to express this all year long, that I think Doc Rivers is a good coach. I just don't think he's a flexible coach. Like, he's good at figuring out what works, but when it's time to go away from that, sometimes he waits too late to change it, or he sticks with it and says, it stays firm. Yeah, you just don't change it. It's going to work eventually. So I don't know if he's flexible enough to when the chips are down and a team is forcing his hand, saying like, you're gonna have to make us respect Ben Simmons. Like, you're gonna have to take him off the court, or you have to make Ben Simmons do something that we respect. Cause otherwise we're gonna keep doing the same action over and over again and scoring. And I just don't know if I believe in Doc to make those kind of adjustments. Granted, they'll be playing against, I don't know who's the eighth seed gonna be, if he's gonna play in tournament. But the second round, it's looking like it's gonna be, as of right now, who they're gonna play, like the Knicks or the Hawks? Like, surely they should be able to take care of them. Surely.
But you already know it's gonna be 6 games regardless.
I say, yeah, second round, it'd be either, no, it might be Miami in the second round.
I see, if it's Miami, it's interesting. See, yeah, so yeah, Miami and the Knicks are currently tied with the same record. So I kind of, I'm hoping that for the sake of a compelling series, I hope it's the Heat that come out of that matchup, the 4-5 matchup. But
the Heat gonna smack the Hawks.
But that's, and so, because otherwise,
I like the Hawks, but
otherwise, if it's the Knicks and the Hawks in that 4-5 slot, the Sixers will actually have a pretty easy route, I think, to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, will they be able to take it to possibly the Bucks or the Nets? That's a different question.
That's tough.
I think the hardest, I think the most dangerous team outside of those teams is probably, I'm gonna go Sixers. I'm gonna say Sixers. It's just because of the route they have is pretty easy. And once they get to the Nets or the Bucks, I feel like they match up well with the Bucks. And I feel like Embiid is such a huge, like, I get that, like, okay, they got the three-headed snake of Harden, Durant, and Kyrie, but Embiid is just such a, like, there's nobody on that team that could, like, adequately guard him every position.
Threes for twos, like word to the Warriors for the last, like, half a decade, bro. Like, you just, no matter how dominant the big is, at the end of the day, it's just 2 points. Like,
but to be fair, though, the Warriors never played a big like Embiid. True. Like, they never played an MVP caliber big of his magnitude. They could actually shoot threes and get to the paint at will.
It's the one person, if you got Kyrie, Harden, and Durant giving you 25 to 30 points each, like, Embiid's he's not gonna match that. Tobias Harris is gonna give you 17 to 18. Ben Simmons 12. You know what I'm saying? Even if Embiid has 35, you know what I'm saying, that still doesn't equate to what the production of those three by themselves. And that's not even including Blake Griffin and Joe Harris, who's definitely coming to his own this season after getting his contract. Yeah.
So
just all these shooters that they have at their disposal.
So ignoring the possibilities of teams even meeting the Nets, who in the East do you feel is the best equipped to possibly beat the Nets? Probably the Bucks.
Bucks.
That's why I think I was being a little too nice about the Sixers. I kind of talked myself into that because I want Giannis to come out, but then as soon as I start to say the Bucks, Mike Budenholzer's face popped up in my head, which I don't know why I let that deter me to say the side with Doc Rivers and the Sixers. But I do, like, after what Jacquez said, I'm much more believe in the Bucks to come out the East.
I think the Bucks are more equipped to beat them when there's only two of those guys on the floor. I don't think that they can even beat them when all three of them out there. It's hard
to imagine many teams beating them guys when they're all healthy. But I think the Bucks had the best chance because they have some perimeter defenders and they got some.
Yeah.
And the team as a whole can score a lot. As a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sixers, though, they struggle to score sometimes. So that,
I don't think Brooklyn got anybody to stop Giannis.
No. Really.
Or
no.
They don't have anybody who can stop those guys. But the thing is, they're not. They don't have those guys. Don't have a secondary guy that can also get put up what the other three people can put up. Because you're not. Kyrie, Harden, and Durant can give you 25 to 30. It's rare that you're going to get a night where both Middleton's giving you 25, Drew's giving you 25, and Giannis giving you 30. Like, that's just not.
It's going to be a team effort. Like,
I can only find you probably 4 or 5 games a season where that happened.
But that's why I said it'll be on the Bucks as a whole to like put up that scoring load, which they do all the time. Like, I think they currently have like a top 2 offense this season because everybody gets involved in scores and things of that nature. It's not because you know, Middleton and Drew both average 25 or more. It's because everybody on that Bucks roster, you know, they create opportunities for everybody to score their own points. Now, when that translates to the playoffs, hopefully that's going to be their only hope. But we'll have to wait and see. Also, like, Drew is an underrated defender. Like, I could see him absolutely bothering the hell out of Kyrie for the entire series. In Kyrie's last playoff series where he played horribly, it was against the Bucks. A big team with a lot of long defenders. Now, you know, that still leaves Harden and KD to deal with. But, you know,
Harden is the X factor.
Yeah, which he's going to be the guy to put him over the top of everybody.
That is insane. James Harden is your X factor. Like, that is an insane concept.
He that missed like 20 games this season. Come on now.
Goodness.
Why Miami didn't try you home?
I don't know.
Word to because of that song that
Jack Harlow.
Yeah, that's because of that song Jack Harlow made. Shout out to Jack Harlow. No, not shot Jack Harlow. He ruined our season last year.
that boy be telling.
Snitch. But all right, we'll go on to the next topic. We're going to talk about Beam Me Up, Scotty. Nicki Minaj just re-released this mixtape on all streaming services and included some brand new songs. One song in particular got a lot of people talking. It's still green. Seeing Green. I did it earlier this day when I was trying to find a song, typing Steel Green. I'm like, that's not it. Seeing Green with Drake, Lil Wayne, and Nicki T opened the mixtape. Guys, if you had a chance to listen to it, what were your thoughts? I think Corey left and muted himself on this topic. Hilarious. We'll go to Daniel then.
Are you talking about the project as a whole, Jordan, or are you just talking about...
Yeah, the project as a whole, in terms of like the new songs and things, and just hearing it again for the first time in a while, probably. So, Dan, go ahead, Jacquez.
I'll just say what I got to say about Seeing Green. I really enjoyed it. I seen this picture of like Kobe, and I forget her name, but I felt like that was such a perfect
I think Lisa Leslie.
Yeah, I felt like that was a perfect, analogy to that song. I feel like, you know, because I didn't feel like that was Wayne's best verse, but it was still a really, really good verse. I feel like both Nicki and Drake went crazy on it. I feel like that was probably one of Drake's best guest features in a little second. That boy, he definitely spazzed on it, and I definitely enjoyed it. But like I said, I just wanted to say that little piece. I'm sure Daniel has a much longer piece than I have about it.
Go ahead and talk your shit then, Daniel.
Nah, I feel, Core, why you went away and mute your mic? I feel a type of way.
Yeah. Oh, no, somebody called me. Yeah, they're my
They're trying to tell you they black women. I didn't understand.
All right, man. Okay. Well, let me go and start this off. I'm gonna keep it a buck with y'all. You don't know what you got till it's gone. I feel this way by Nicki. I feel this way by... Hey, man, when she dropped Queen, I liked a couple tracks out of Queen. But, you know, I was like, yeah, it's cool, did that in the third. And the one thing I kept saying was, you know, man, it's a new era. We got to let the new girls take it. Nicki got to take a break. Let them run the throne. I love all the women in hip-hop. I love what they doing. But hearing Nicki really made me feel like, damn, we needed her this entire time. I seen a tweet where somebody said, yo, we been down bad. We been turning up a polar ray. I said, yeah. I was definitely down bad. No disrespect to Coyle Ray, man, but Nicki different. Listening to that verse, going back, listening to, like, it felt like I was in a time machine, you know. And it just really made me think, we ain't gonna never get another Nicki.
No.
We ain't gonna never get nothing close to Nicki. And for a very long time, I've been critical about a lot of rappers, but you know, now that they're at the tail end of their career, they talking about retiring, you really get to see, like, damn, I gotta appreciate these people because ain't nobody else taking their spot. It don't look like it. I'm happy she back. I'm ready for an album, mixtape, whatever she dropping. In the documentary, I need whatever.
I agree, Corey. Like, listening to it was definitely like feeling in a time machine. That's because it was a fresh reminder of, like, because for the last couple of years, like, I've been listening to a lot of the new girls in hip hop, and I enjoy them. I do. I enjoy what they bring to the game. But with that being said, hearing the way Nicki was rapping on Beam Me Up, Scotty, along with some of the newer tracks, I thought to myself, like, wow, there she is a clear cut above the rest.
Above the rest.
Like, it's like her and then it's them. And it was so crazy to, like I said, after not going a while from hearing her, because Queen came out, what year was that, Daniel? Was that 2017?
2018.
Yeah, 18. So it's been about 3 years. Queen wasn't her best. So to, like, be reminded of, like, what more of her, like, you know, Apex, her best was around, like, to hear that plus some of her new stuff. And I'm like, wow, like she's like, it's amazing what we, what we kind of settled for in these last couple of years. And like, well, just because we wanted some, you know, some new blood in the game. So I thought it was dope hearing her come back with a vengeance. And that was, yeah.
I would just like to say.
And she was talking, boy. Like, she was basically on the track, like, man, they putting corporations against me. These the women y'all put y'all capes on for. This is who y'all wanted me to go to the crib for. Everybody, like, oh, you know, you go home. You take care of your family. These new girls got it. They got it. But they ain't holding it up. They ain't putting the game on their back. They ain't carrying it, man. I ain't gonna hold it.
Yeah,
oh, Nika, I'm glad you're back.
They're making TikTok dances. But go ahead, Dan.
Exactly. They're making TikTok dances.
I would like to say, ain't nothing wrong with TikTok dances. I want to say
everything wrong with TikTok
dances. Have you been on TikTok?
That's cool for them. I don't know. I got no question. TikTok as marketer. That's cool. It is what it is. Once again, I would like to say, unlike Jordan, and Jordan's lying, he's just saying that because this will be publicly recorded and, like, spread amongst people. Jordan does not have respect for all of these women. Jordan does not listen to all of these women. So I want to say, while I do believe there's some talent out there, a lot of them suck.
Damn.
So, a lot. And it's okay.
I ain't gonna say that.
You don't have to say it. That's why I said it.
They grown. So, you know, they learning.
I'm here to say, I think Meg Thee Stallion is a phenomenal rapper. I love to hear her freestyle. I love when it's just like her on like a real Southern beat. She is a insanely subpar songwriter. The music just stinks. It's not good. Love her. I love everything she represents. The music just not good, and that's okay. I think Cardi B, I don't know if she's, whoever it is, they're putting out good music. I think Cardi makes enjoyable music. I think she's a terrible rapper. So I don't think there's like one woman that I think is like doing just like a phenomenal job on all like ends in the way a Minaj would do it. And yeah, I think the music is good. Beam Me Up, Scotty is now 12 years old. I think Beam Me Up, Scotty is still better than, excluding Nicki Minaj. I don't think, since Beam Me Up, Scotty came out in 2009. So whatever woman has been dropping music since 2009, I don't believe they have two projects better than Beam Me Up, Scotty.
That's very fair.
Go back and listen. Yeah. Jordan, Rhapsody is included. So,
I ain't saying like Rhapsody. I'm gonna put it out there.
I literally said I agree. He's gonna name my mouth.
I just let you know. So, but yeah, I think it's good. It's always good to hear Nicki rap. I didn't think I'd ever hear Nicki and Drake on wax together again. I didn't think I cared to ever hear Nicki and Drake on wax together again. No Fraud sucks. Love Nicki, but you know, sometimes we don't always put it up like we're supposed to put it up. So I didn't think I was intrigued to hear them together again. I thought it was funny that they rapped over the Meek Mill meme beat. but it was not everybody put their numbers up. I think Nicki had the best verse. I think Wayne did well. I never know what to expect from Wayne. I think Drake did well.
He held on. You know, Wayne held on.
Yeah, so I like Wayne's verse. I love Fractions. I've been saying it's the Malik Bars thinking that she distancing me all day. So I hope the intended target felt that, because I felt it for her. And I'm a West Indian nigga, so I love the original Crocodile Teeth. So it was cool to hear Nicki on that.
As I said, it's a lot of I think it definitely hit its target, because there were people on the tier copping please. Dre, how'd you feel about the release of Beat Me Up, Scotty?
I really do like seeing Green. I think it was really good. I would probably agree that Nicki had the best verse. Wayne's verse was really good. Drake's verse, I'm not as crazy over it as most people are. Like, I like it. But,
I like the crutches line.
Yeah, but a lot of people saying, like, oh, it's one of his best features and all that. I'm like, I've heard a lot better. But
what was the last Drake feature?
Hmm?
I can't even remember. What was our last Drake feature?
Where he rapped?
It was probably BB King Freestyle, which I checked. I thought that it came out this year. It actually came out November of last year.
Last year.
So that was his last feature. That was his last feature. Could we heard him rap on?
He dropped the Scary Hours 2.
No. I mean, the last time he was featured on someone's stuff.
I was correcting Joel. I was saying what Joel was trying to put out.
Yeah, so I think it would be BB King Freestyle, because technically, I don't think that's his song. That's Wayne's song.
It's Wayne's song, yeah. So that was a really good verse.
I love that verse.
Yeah, but I like Fractions. I like the new songs, and obviously, Beat Me Up, Scotty. I mean, I was ninth grade when that came out, and that was everywhere. Like, you couldn't find a girl that wasn't playing that mixtape. Really? I don't think I ever even, like, heard the mixtape all the way through, like, just in song order, but I know all of those songs, like, literally. Same. Like, it was everywhere. And it was refreshing, because, like, obviously I like a lot of the female rappers out now, you know, but as far as, like, mainstream, like, man, they ain't got it like Nicki.
Like, I could imagine none of the mainstream acts putting out a, like, 23 track album and rapping and rapping for 23 songs, and me thinking like, okay, they do what they think on, like, every song. Like, I think literally, like, I don't want to keep digging on. I think, like, how many songs on Meg last album? I think it was close to 20,
like 13, 16 or 17.
I think it was like 16.
Okay,
because she added all the old songs.
Okay,
yeah. Okay. You know what everybody.
And Meg's talented. Nobody here is saying Meg's not talented.
Yeah, she's a rapper.
Like, I don't get anyone ever taking that wave away from her. Just the music, and you know, I try to. And I know I just said a whole bunch of wild things about Meg, but I genuinely do try to support Meg, because before Meg, the woman that popped before Meg, I saw a lot of people. Of course, she was critiqued, but I think her being a non-black woman made her escape a lot of critique. So I think because of that, I tried to, like, double push Meg. But, you know, sometimes you just can't lie to yourself. Like, if it don't hit, it don't hit. So I like her energy. I love that she's a college-educated woman. Of course, everybody doesn't have to go to college, but I love that she did go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I love that she loves anime. You know, shout that out. One Piece is the greatest anime of all time. I'm glad that she know that. So I like everything about Meg, but her music. And I don't think that's a knock to her. Of course, she's still super. But I think Meg's younger than me. Meg might be, like, 23.
Yeah, so she still got time.
So yeah, I think we'll just wait. Granted, Playtime Is Over is better than anything Meg ever dropped, but that's neither here nor there. But
I'm about to say, she don't have a Beat Me Up, Scotty. So it's like,
I think as she continues to make music, because what is Meg, like, 4 or 5 projects in?
Like, 4, yeah.
So I think maybe as she continues to make music, she'll link with better songwriters. She's signed to Roc Nation. She has access to, like, everything in the world. So I think maybe she'll get better. I don't think she gets bigger, like, star-wise, than she is now.
Yeah.
But
well, she's pretty big star-wise.
Yeah, no.
But see, the thing with Nicki is, like Meg's a dope rapper. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, she can flow her ass off. But Nicki just got the charisma with it, though. Like, it's the total package as far as just a rapper. Like, she has
the delivery. That delivery.
And she can make the pop music.
Yeah, like, she can get on a song with literally anybody and hold her own.
Like, I say Nicki is the greatest woman of all time, I don't say that as, like, hyperbole or me trying to be funny. I genuinely believe that Nicki Minaj is the greatest woman of all time. The only other women I would compare her to, I hate to say it, those women weren't writing their raps all of the time. So I'm not going to disrespect Nicki by putting her in a box with people who wasn't really, like, putting in the work that she put in. So I do not believe
past, present, or future. I can't even see the future, but I feel strongly about it. I do not believe there's a woman seeing Nicki Minaj.
And I feel like this mixtape was a nice reminder of like who she was and who she is. So shout out to Nicki.
It definitely is for anybody who had never heard it before. I think listening to it, you can hear that like she was always destined to become what she became.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like you can hear from like early on, because Beam Me Up Scotty is her third mixtape. So it was like third in 3 years. So consecutively for 3 years, she dropped mixtapes. So, but Beam Me Up, you hear it's very hard, aggressive rapping, but then you can hear she, Super Bass is not that far. Like, you know that's coming because you can see she has that cross appeal, like, there. I hate the auto-tune singing, but boy, she was singing her heart out. So, like, you just knew it was coming. So,
you know it.
Sound better on her than Wayne, I'll tell you that much. I meant to say this, but during a lot of time, I think it might have been 100 Mil or like a couple of instances when like Cole was like singing on the album, it kind of vaguely reminded me of like when Wayne was early on, first starting to use auto-tune and singing. I don't know, it might have imagined it, but I was like his cadence kind of makes me think of Wayne here. I can't remember, I think it was 100 Mil on another song, but I can't quite think of it. I don't know if anybody else thought that. But that's something that jumped in my brain.
The Cole singing got better over. So I don't know if it's because it's good music or I'm forcing myself to like it. But around like track number five, I'm cool with Cole. I mean, track number five. Listen, number five, I'm cool with Cole singing. Like, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if I dislike Wayne auto-tune singing. Like, I love Prostitute.
I hate his more recent auto-tune singing because it's like it's just too much.
More recent music in general. So yeah, I think that's just Wayne.
Guilty.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
But like it was just something about the way Cole did it. It reminded me of Wayne. I can't exactly put my finger on exactly what it was, but back to the present. We're talking about Nicki. Shout out to Nicki. I think we've been here a minute. I ain't gonna hold you guys. we might get ready to wrap it up soon. This is a great first episode back. So I'm gonna give y'all options. Do y'all guys wanna talk about the play-in and whether it should stay? The Migos new single or the end of regular season, some of y'all favorite moments. What do you guys wanna talk about the most at the end of the podcast?
The season, I don't give a fuck about the Migos, and we kind of already spoke about
They chose the absolute wrong time.
Worst time.
Well, y'all answered my question. The question for the Migos was, do we care about this new single?
Wrong timing. Horrible timing.
I wish it was somebody I could ask and get an actual answer from, but I wonder what changed that made every label say, this Friday is when it's the optimal time to start releasing music again.
Bro, I was saying the same thing. I was like, bro, like Nicki ain't dropping
weird.
Like 5 months, bro. I was like, why everybody dropping at the same time?
Part of me feels like sometimes artists like you get a rush out of like, I want to spar. So I'm sure Cole and Nicki both had this. When you kind of secretive with your releases, no one knows. So Cole and Nicki just randomly popped up at the same time. But listening to Nicki speak, she said she was having writer's block. So I think these new songs got written and recorded over like the past 2 weeks. So I think those are really fresh. I think Cole has been planning this forever. As far as like recording niggas from Atlanta, I personally just feel like they drop it now. So when it performs terribly, they could be like, it was a lot of people out. What did you expect?
I don't think it's going to get any easier because I feel like more big artists about to start dropping.
Where the fuck is Aubrey?
He's coming soon.
Eventually, you can push it back 5 times. He got dropped soon.
He said January. We damn near at the summer.
You know rappers live. You know that's what they do.
That is a hip hop fact. Niggas, rappers do be lying.
But now he tore his ACL, bro. He couldn't rap.
Yeah, I see, and it's so funny because like. When I said like an older episode, I was like, okay, towards ACL, so it ain't gonna come out in January, it'll come out February. And I said, wait a minute, man, that ain't how ACLs heal.
It take a minute.
That thing take a long time.
Him saying his ACL has nothing to do with him putting out music.
He can't multitask. He got to do his rehab, and then the album will come.
He ain't trying to be no
Lil Baby. Acting in the wheelchair, he can rap in the wheelchair. Y'all know what time it is.
He ain't trying to
be. The album was supposed to be done. Niggas not touring. What does the ACL matter?
He ain't trying to be. He ain't trying to be.
Post some pictures and shit of him walking on his Instagram. That nigga cool. Nothing with him from fucking dropping that music. I ain't seen that. That nigga talking about rapping. You said that. I've done great things with two Christians. Nigga, I ain't seen one Christian like months.
Wild to me. Yeah, and I saw him on live. You're right. I saw him on live walking yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. Nothing wrong with that nigga.
That nigga
man, hey man, with the money he got, he can buy a new ACL.
He probably did while you cracking jokes.
You think about got an ace out the black market?
Yes, sir. Call some phone of the mob ties. But all right, so y'all talk. Y'all rather talk about the play-in or we'll talk about the play-in tournament because I feel like that's most. Because I feel like the regular season awards this year have been pretty much wrapped up. I feel like they're all going to go to not unanimous.
Hey, who y'all got rookie of the year? Me and DeLon been going back and forth.
LaMelo.
Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards averaged 20 points and he played the entire season. Hey, man.
I'm going to say LaMelo. I love LaMelo, but Anthony had some moments.
Y'all mind if I quote Bill Simmons? I ain't fact-checked it yet, but I'm about to fact check it right now. It was like about a month ago. They were talking about how Anthony Edwards could possibly win Rookie of the Year, and he was saying like, "Yeah, you know, Anthony Edwards, he averaged a lot of points." But he was like, "Do you know who is?" I think he said since the All Star break or whatever it was. Like, you know who has led the league in field goal attempts? And it was Anthony Edwards. And I was like, "Damn, that nigga been shooting like that,
He's shooting like 41% from the field, bro. Like he's scoring a lot, but he's shooting a lot.
Yeah,
LaMelo is like he's scoring, rebounding, assisting, winning games.
Nigga, he did that for half a season. My nigga, he didn't.
He played 70% of the game.
If Zion Williamson didn't get it last year, then LaMelo Ball should get it.
LaMelo played 50 games this season.
Yeah, like Zion played less than half the season. Like,
yeah, you
I think he played directly. He played like right at half, and then LaMelo's played like
70% of the game.
Of this.
Let's see. Zion stats.
I'm conflicted because I want LaMelo to win it, but I think there is an argument for Anthony Edwards. I text Jordan the other day. I don't know what game I was watching, but I was watching him. I was like, damn, I won't say this shit to DeLon, but damn, this nigga's kind of nice.
He got his head.
He's cold. Nice. But yeah, I don't see the case. Outside of scoring, what is he doing better than LaMelo?
That's a good point.
I would say when LaMelo was playing, LaMelo was the clear Anthony Edwards is not that yet. So I think Anthony Edwards turns up at the second half of the season. So not to knock him, but I feel like LaMelo from the jump has been this. And Anthony Edwards has to work towards that. There's nothing wrong with that.
So Zion played, well, LaMelo played 49 games before. He's played 49 games so far out of this 72-game season. Zion only played 24. So he played two times less.
But you know what?
What though? Because the season ended early last year. 24 out of what?
But it was 72. Remember they cut the season down to 72 games.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying 24 last season. Down to play 72 games last season.
Yeah. If I remember correctly.
So Jacquez, I get what you're saying. You're not wrong. Well, you're wrong about the LaMelo Zion comparison. But you're not wrong in saying Anthony Edwards has like played the whole season. But I don't know. It's a toss up. If they gave him co-rookie of the year, I wouldn't care.
I think that'd be the best thing, but I don't think that's what they're gonna do. I think they only do that if your votes tie, which I don't see how the hell that happens anyway.
But I will also say this
against LaMelo.
If LaMelo win, I need a 4-hour long interview with Anthony Edwards. I'm trying to hear all this. That boy got some problems.
But
looking at their stats right now, he averages about four-ish more points than Melo. Melo averages three more assists than him, and Melo averages 1.5 more rebounds. Like, but he's played 20 more games than Melo, 21 more games than Melo. So I think that's gonna be a factor. Just that,
yeah, it's definitely a factor. It's definitely. Ooh, yeah, the Hornets are in the playoffs.
Damn, they are in the playoffs.
But you know, but the thing is, I think it would be more compelling if they had been in the playoffs and they were sliding out of playoffs without LaMelo. Like they held their own without LaMelo.
That's something
voters are going to do. They're going to be like, well, LaMelo seems in the playoffs as if he was the sole reason why they got there, and like they wouldn't have made it without him. He contributed to it, but like the fact, like they've been winning games without him.
No, they was no. He was. He missed 21 games, fam. 21 games, and
there's a lot of games.
They were in the position because of his play. They were already in position.
No, if you're not on the court, just like LeBron, just why are the Lakers a step deep right now?
Whoa,
that's right. LeBron and AD got hurt.
That don't got nothing to do with nothing.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying
these.
LeBron was out. Like three starters out.
Yeah, hey, the Lakers.
Miles Bridges is hooping with him. Miles Bridges is hooping without him. Just go throw that out there.
Shout out to Miles Bridges.
Missed like three to four starters for like a good chunk of the season. I don't think that's a good comparison.
No, I'm just saying he's missing. They were missing starters because Gordon Hayward hadn't played the whole season either. Melo hasn't played the whole season. So they were.
That team got some firepower. Don't sleep. That team who got some firepower.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. Like the Melo did contribute to assists. It's hard to say how much he contributed to this assist. That's the question because you know Gordon Hayward. I think before Gordon Hayward went down, they were fine. When he went down, that's when they really started to trend downward. Because you know you're losing Gordon Hayward and LaMelo, so not having both was a big downturn. But like
plus LaMelo,
like,
two other point guards, they can be starters. On
like team. For instance, like LaMelo was on the Timberwolves. Like I don't think that team would have been anywhere.
Oh, they ain't winning shit.
They would have been dead. Sorry to love, but
hey man,
again, I had. Outside of scoring,
they're confused about your stats. They don't care whether you're winning or losing.
LaMelo got better stats.
The
story doesn't. It's not MVP. It's not narrative based.
But LaMelo got better stats. So if we're talking stats, then LaMelo has the better stats.
He has. I just named out his stats, and he's only shooting 2% better than him. LaMelo's shooting 44, and Anthony Edwards shooting like 41.8 or some shit like that.
So basically, let's see, LaMelo.
And they both shooting like sub 30, like 30, the lower 30s in, what's the name?
So let's say, that means Anthony Edwards only got him beating that points per game. And then technically, LaMelo has, whatchamacallit, beat and everything else. So technically, he got this.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
Y'all gotta keep this in mind.
Like, the thing, the
only Edwards is on a poverty franchise. Y'all gotta give him some credit now. Come on now.
Y'all would have called the Hornets a poverty franchise before this season started.
And a lot of their players made them their third year leaps. Like, PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, they made their third
LaMelo
year.
LaVonte Graham, it's a 5-5 on their team.
That's what's supposed LaMelo, to happen.
Carl Anthony,
LaMelo's averaging double the assists.
Doom, y'all know that.
And
LaMelo's the point guard. What do you mean? That's just like saying Chris Paul averages more assists.
And he's averaging more rebounds.
And Anthony Edwards is supposed to shoot the ball. That's what he's out there to do, is to shoot the ball.
Cody Zeller, they still like, can we really?
So I guess the question is, I think the only thing that's making this a conversation is the fact that LaMelo missed games. So I think that just shows you that
literally
LaMelo stats are probably superior.
LaMelo does that over a whole season, and obviously, but he missed
21. But I look at it like this from a historical standpoint, and I know this is extremely random, but Brandon Roy won MVP.
Way back.
I mean, not MVP, Rookie of the Year. He played 69% of the games and still here. LaMelo, the rest of the season, he would play 70% of the games. So we can't use the missed games thing.
Did the person Brandon Roy beat have better stats, have just as good, if not arguably better stats?
No.
Okay, then. Why it's a conversation.
But Melo has better stats, so we just proved the numbers.
Slightly better stats. He averages one and a half more rebounds and three assists. He's a point guard.
I'm all right. I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna stop it here because we talking in circles at this point. It's clear there's two sides, and that's what's gonna make this vote. So I think the vote's gonna be very close. I think that people, because of the missed games, there's gonna be people who factor that in. Also because of like the. You know, people have recency bias. A lot of times the MVP and the other awards are decided in the second half of the season. And people have the 40-point games from Anthony Edwards fresher in their heads than what LaMelo was doing before the All-Star break when he got hurt. So it's going to be a very tight race. Yeah. I'm glad we actually talked about this. I'll think to myself, like, all these awards pretty close. I'll go with, kind of like I said, I think everybody think MVP would probably most likely be
Jokic.
Yeah, that's going to be
Jokic, yeah.
because he's the only, in the same breath, he's the only MVP candidate that's played every game. Everybody else has been hurt for at least 10 to 20 games.
You know what's crazy about that, Jordan? You remember, like, early when we first started podcasting, and we were talking about, like, is the big man, like, leaving the league? Like, you know what I'm saying? And we was like, when was the last time a big man won the MVP? Yeah, and that shit happened a lot quicker than we thought. That shouts out to Jokic.
I told y'all the era was coming back.
Cause it was like, if we
gonna be MBE though.
Cause like we said, if we don't count Giannis as a big man, then the last big man to win MVP, I think, was KG. I think that's the last one. And that was like,
what year that was?
That was like
2004.
Yeah, it was like 2004.
I might say the last center is Shaq.
Yeah,
straight up center. So that's crazy. 2000.
Like, he'll be the first MVP, because I didn't realize he was drafted in like the second round, like late in the second round too. He'll be the first MVP to be drafted late. But I think it'll be a cool story.
It's gonna be a very cool story for Jokic, man. I enjoy watching that guy play. He's really talented. But
yeah.
Okay, so I think this would be another hard one. Coach of the year. Who do y'all think deserves that? I feel like nobody's talking about that at all. Like,
Slay Master Tibbs.
The Suns coach. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
Monty Williams.
They went from a play-in team last year.
They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they ain't even make it. Yeah. They went 8-0 and still didn't make it.
Yeah.
Damn near the best team in the NBA. Come on now.
No, but you know, the funny thing is that the entire season, who have they been giving credit to for them being the number two seed?
Chris Paul.
Exactly. Oh, and that's gonna probably gonna hurt Monty, to be real with you. They're gonna contribute the success to unfairly. Yeah, I would say
I think Chris Paul is gonna finish like top four in MVP voting though.
They could have made it last year if old boy didn't get suspended on 25 games. I'm still sticking with that. I believe that in my heart.
Nah, they would have.
You're real.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I believe it too.
Luke to DeAndre Ayton.
But, you know, it took Chris Paul coming in to set that boy straight so that won't happen again. Hey. See what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Paul locked him in a room like they did DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, so
hey. Come on, man.
He dug through his locker, threw all the pills out, flushed him down the toilet. He said, no more of that. what a leader. But, yeah, I feel like
defensive player of the year is pretty much a toss-up at this point, too.
Okay, so before we go to defensive player of the year, because I agree with you. Coach of the year, I think Quinn Snyder has a very good case. It depends how you view it, because, you know, the case against him, the case against Monty Williams is they're going to say, oh, he got Chris Paul. Chris Paul's one did all that, which I think that's unfair. The thing they'll say unfairly for Quinn Snyder is the Jazz were the only team that was pretty much healthy the entire season. I don't remember any of the stars going into health and safety protocols either. Like, they pretty much escaped all of that all season long while Lakers had both their guys out. For both reasons. Yeah. That Clippers had both their guys out for both reasons. The Suns have been pretty healthy, too. And hence them being able to secure a top two seed. And then, like, you know, you go down the list, almost every team in both conferences have dealt with issues. So that probably be the case against Quinn Snyder. And they'll say, like, oh, they had the best record in the league. And like, well, they were the only team that was healthy all year. That's what people unfairly say about them. So I think Quinn Snyder, I think Monty Williams, and I think probably Doc will definitely get mentions. That'll probably be the top three. It'll probably be Doc, Quinn, Monty, and Thibs.
I'm about to say, what about Thibs?
Yeah, Thibs. They'll probably be the top four right there.
I'd probably go Monty. That would have been my first pick.
Let's see.
If he changed that whole culture, I'd give him that.
Yeah, definitely.
Mike Malone probably deserves.
He's got the Knicks in the playoffs. Who would have thought?
Depends on how you view Mike Malone and his contributions to the Nuggets. He probably deserves some mentions too. With all the players they've had get hurt and players they have out safety protocols. I don't think Michael Porter Jr. played the first 20 games because he kept.
Yeah, right now he played the other night.
Because he kept getting COVID at the beginning, or kept getting exposed, or kept breaking the rules or something, so he just couldn't play for like the first 20 games.
Also, I want to throw a name at you. I ain't saying he coach of the year, but I want to give him his respect. Nate McMillan got fired, went to the Hawks, and got their team in shape. I want to say that real quick.
Got a better record than the Pacers, who are going down.
You love to see it.
Speak on it. Apparently, everybody in the Pacers organization hate each other now. I think that's hilarious. Like they hate that coach. They hate that coach so much.
You should have hired Becky Hammon and made history, but no, they want Yorgies.
I ain't seen a team turn on a coach like this since that coach that was coaching the Cavs that everybody hated. The one that was calling people thugs and stuff like that. Look at that.
B-Line. Coach B-Line.
Yeah. Yeah, that old guy.
The guy that was there before Tyronn Lue?
No, the guy that came after Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, he was after.
He was like a college coach. They had promoted. He came up.
A bunch of thugs.
Yeah.
Slugs.
Yeah, I said thugs. I meant slugs.
They got like a bunch of slugs.
Oh my goodness!
we cut up on that podcast episode. I ain't gonna lie to you. Yeah. But defensive player of the year, I do agree. That's another toss up. I think Rudy's gonna get it again. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Absolutely,
man. If Rudy get it again, bro, we need to
absolutely
change the rule or something, bro.
I think it's just like the MVP where, you know, in the regular season, it's a regular season award. And in the regular season, Rudy is like the anchor for like the best defense in the league. Like, he's the reason that he is now, in a postseason, you know, teams, there are certain teams that are able to pick on him. But like, I think about like that series against the Thunder where they beat the Thunder in the first round. They couldn't do that to Rudy because the Thunder could not shoot like that, so they couldn't even expose him. So Rudy Gobert dominated them in that series. So against the right matchups, which is likely for a lot of players, he can dominate the game defensively.
So do you think he deserves it?
I think he does.
Is he your defensive player of the year?
I think he is, honestly. I think he would be my vote. I think I would choose Rudy Gobert. I don't like Rudy Gobert. I don't like the guy. I don't like how he acts or his attitude. I don't like none of that. But I do think he is the defensive player of the year. I would probably take him over over Ben.
I'm gonna say I got Ben.
I like so, Ben.
And yeah. Then what? So what? No. What about Bomb? Bomb. Bam.
Bam. He's up there.
LB 6 points the other night. I just want to throw that out there.
I tweeted this, I deleted it.
When all the niggas got hurt, his defense slipped, but that's because he had to carry more of an offensive.
Yeah, offensive.
I think that probably was going to hurt his case.
It did dawn on me, and I'm pretty sure you guys have realized this already, but it didn't dawn on me until recently. I think I saw reading a piece on Drew Holiday, and he was like, yeah, I'm absolute defensive player of the year. I believe that. And I thought to myself, like, you know what? Every year, Drew Holiday is never in the top five for the player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, every player has vocally said he is the hardest person to break free of on defense. And he had all these teams willing to trade a lot to get Drew Holiday, all of them recognizing how good of a defender he is. You have these teams, these organizations, these players all coming out saying, you even got media members talking about, oh my goodness, Drew Holiday is such a phenomenal defender. And yet, for some odd reason, he is nowhere, he hasn't been in the defensive player of the year conversation all year.
I don't. These awards are all narrative, and it's just about who they like, man. I really don't know how Rudy Gobert either. I don't know how Rudy Gobert became
I don't get it either.
But it's so weird, though. Like, see, I get Rudy because he's the best defensive player on the best defensive team. But Drew Holiday has been a part of like I'm saying, like, it's a narrative based award, but how many players in the league have the rep that Drew has on defense? And yet, for some odd reason, that rep just seems to just don't get him any
nothing.
It don't get him no leeway in that conversation. It's just strange. Like,
who else can clump up Dame for an entire series?
Nobody technically done that. Not to that extent. Like, Dame was averaging like 18 points in this series.
Yeah.
It came like there was a whole hoopla about how they upset the Blazers next year, not even in the defensive player of the year conversation. So strange.
Crazy.
I think Draymond's got more talk, which I think is deservedly so. Draymond's been really good defensively this year. But like,
I forgot about Draymond this year.
It's crazy that Draymond's on an inferior team. Barely, you know, actually, that team is playing really well defensively. But they, like, you know, Andrew Wiggins. I think I've heard more Andrew Wiggins buzz for defensive player of the year than I have Drew Holiday. That's
Wiggins.
That's real disrespectful, Jordan. That's real disrespectful.
I'm just telling you what I
it is. It is disrespectful, but it is true though. Like Wiggins has got more talk than Drew. It's crazy. I don't know what Drew did to the NBA.
Maybe
media.
It's harder to like show other than like the eye test how much you impact the game as a defender, as a guard defender, than yeah, it yeah. is as a post defender or whatever.
Absolutely.
But ain't that many guards? But what was it? Just Kawhi and Jordan and the glove?
Yeah.
Aren't the only guards? Yeah. At least off the top of my head, they're the only guards that win defensive player of the year that have won it.
Yeah, perimeter. Oh, wait, did Tony
ever talk about Marcus Smart this year? Like
Tony Allen didn't ever win it, did he?
No, he never won it. He was always
first team all defense, which yes, we reminded us all the time. But yeah, it's hard to win it as a perimeter player, and that's because defensive stats tend to favor defensive oriented centers. And I do feel like the media most of the time look at the numbers from they look at advanced numbers and metrics because it's so hard to watch every single game. And realistically, and that's the sad thing about it, these people who are voting haven't seen every single defensive performance by Drew, Ben, Rudy Gobert, and Bam. They're gonna just go by the numbers and the limited games they have seen. They're gonna make their cases off of that alone. And that, you know, it sucks.
You know what the problem is? What's that? Too many games.
I agree.
I feel like the players should vote for a defensive player of the year.
I think so too.
I didn't want to say that, but I think they should have some type of voice in it. Once again, I keep seeing that Kevin Durant, Gobert clip keep like making its rounds again, and I just think players should have some sort of. If every player feels this way about the defensive player of the year, there's a real problem. So I think players should have some type of say. I get why it becomes a conflict of interest because you got people voting for themselves or voting for their friends, things like that. But I think there has to be some way of balance to get their input on.
Hey. I'm going to tell y'all a crazy fact that we haven't even brought up.
What's that?
Drew Holiday didn't even make an all-defense team last year.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I think that is just so strange.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not make all-defensive team and then people are the next season trying their hardest to trade for you because they know how good you are on defense? Like, this.
Maybe it's because his defense wasn't – because the Pelicans' defense is just so fucking terrible. Because, bro, I was watching them last night, fam. Niggas was just backdoor cutting them niggas like it was
– like it was they got Van Gundy.
They felt like bad by getting
coach. To him.
Yeah. Hey, it is hard to win defensive player awards when you're on a bad team. Usually that only goes to players on good teams. The reason for that is because they only look at defensive metrics, and defensive metrics is a terrible way to evaluate individuals. Because what it's going to do is it's going to say, okay, how bad was the defense when you were on the court? So that means that the center could be an exploited, could just every play coming down, Joel Embiid is putting Cody Zeller in a rack. But Miles Bridges' defensive rating is going to go down because points are being scored while he is on the court, and that's why that metric is so terrible. And that's also why good defensive players on bad teams get the short end of the stick, and that's also why good to great defensive players look like godly defensive players on very good defensive teams because even when they're not evolving defensive play, their teammates are getting stops, helping contribute to their great defensive rating.
Thanks.
That's true.
So that's a wild fact, Trey. That's wild. So I think
not even second to me.
Yeah. So I think Rudy ends up getting it again, and then he'll probably never win it ever again. He probably gonna be in a conversation next year. Well, I think he's gonna win it again, and he probably will be in a conversation this year because I don't think he's gonna get exploited like he has in the past. I even think about like that Denver series. Like he was doing a pretty good job on Jokic.
Yeah. Murray just went insane.
Yeah. It was Murray averaging like 50 points in that series, but for the most part, he was sticking with Jokic and giving him problems. I think he's a fine defensive player. It's just he has a wart that some of the best teams ever will just exploit the hell out of. Like he just got caught in the wrong era, in the wrong magic.
Yeah.
But that's all I got. You boys have any closing thoughts before we end this show? We've been here a while. It's been fun.
Man, I'm happy to be back.
Yes, sir. All right.
How you feeling about that first round matchup? It's looking like it's going to be us again.
I'm gonna love to see a rematch for the ages.
It's going to sound. I ain't gonna speak on it because it's the Clippers, man.
No.
Y'all ain't got Doc now though.
I'm speaking on it. Reggie Jackson will not be holding Luka. I'm just throwing it out. I'm letting you know in advance. You ain't got to worry about that no more.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't even want to see that.
Yeah, I think
a challenge.
I think that this series should go how it should have went last year. I think it should be quick. I think for the simple fact that
Mavs in five.
I think it should be Clips in five for the simple fact that the guys who gave us fits last year in the playoffs aren't on their teaming. Like Trey Burke was cooking our ass. He ain't there anymore.
Seth Curry was going ballistic.
Trey Burke still there?
Man. Yeah, he's still there.
I recant
what
I
said. I'm rushing back.
I thought baby AI were gone.
Self gone.
That's
what gave me them nightmares.
Yeah, Seth was shooting like 80% from three in that damn series. Like, I'm so glad he gone.
Wow. The thing that makes me nervous is think Paul George is gonna play that bad again.
Nah, it's just no
in a series.
I don't think he is, but even if he do with the extra because even when he was playing bad, we would still be up. even when he was playing bad, we would still put the numbers.
And that's
with the extra pieces we got, you know, it's insurance policy.
And that's what Dre is saying. That's also like there was also one point that like the other team constantly exploited, which was Montrezl Harrell on Boban. Like you could throw Boban out there again.
Oh yeah.
But with Serge out there, he ain't gonna just be able to get constant baskets over Serge. And also Serge could
that's the problem now.
Also, Serge could actually drag Boban out to the 3-point line where last year Trez was trying to ISO against Boban on a block. Like, dude, no, he got like 3 feet on you. How are you gonna? You can't score over Boban. Like, what are you doing? Like, I was screaming at my TV, man. I was so damn sick, Dre. I can't tell
you. He's like, man, y'all was on the same team. You couldn't score on this man in practice. What make you think you can do in the playoffs?
Exactly. And he did it every single game. I'm like,
every time.
Doc. I was like, Doc, please tell Trey. Like, I didn't understand. Like, we can run something else here. We're like, we don't have to run the offense through Trez while Boban is in. Let's do something else. And so that point of exploitation will no longer be there. And Blue is no longer there, who is also a person that they could attack on defense. So I like the Clippers' chances. I think it should be a five. I'm going to say six because we don't ever make shit easy, even if we win. The Clippers are never one. Clipper history. Sad Clipper history.
It's because of Doc, though. It's because of Doc. Y'all keep that in mind.
Sad Clipper facts. Before beating the Mavs in six last year, the Clippers had never won a series in seven games. In less than seven games. Every series the Clippers had won during the Doc Rivers era, they won in seven games. When they beat the Warriors, it was seven. The time they beat the Grizzlies, it had to go to seven. The time they beat the Spurs, it went
Spurs,
to
seven. They yeah.
Never won a series unless it was in seven games until last year where it was six. That was the first time ever. Damn. Sad Clipper history facts.
Yeah, that's wild.
the more you know, the worse you feel. All right. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Pop of the Man podcast. Tune in next time for another episode of your favorite podcast. See you then.